All right, let's go to our scripture this morning, and I'm going to read the white, and you're going to read the yellow. There we go. All right. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having shod your feet, above all, taking the shield of faith, the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now let's go to the next slide. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, good. You know, when my grandkids come over, we had grandkids last night, but they're a little bit older, but when we have our grandkids come over and stay when they're between ages 2 and 4, that area where they're walking, and, you know, I love it when they come over, and in the morning when they get up, they'll come and we'll pull them up on the bed, and we'll wrestle and tickle and do all those things. You know what I'm talking about, and have a good time, and then at some point, Deb and I want to take a shower. I'm really hard on that, and the kids inevitably want to come in and watch us while we're taking a shower. Now, is it just my household? You know, it drives me crazy, and so Debbie and I shoo them out, and she kind of gets them preoccupied, so they don't know what's going on. I take my shower as fast as I can, and then she goes up, and I preoccupy them. But every once in a while, one of them slips through our plan, and they come in, and they go, and thank God for steam, right? I don't know. It's just hard on me because I came from kind of a modest family, and I don't know. It's uncomfortable, isn't it, when that happens? And, you know, in our Christian life, we can a lot of times be undressed, right? We don't have the armor. We're not thinking about it in the Christian life, and we begin to fight those daily battles thinking maybe we have enough energy. And ultimately, we're embarrassed. And I want to help you get dressed this morning in the armor of God and help you shoo out the schemes of the devil when Satan uses certain tactics for his defense to get you to a place of not being able to serve God. So let's add our verse today in verse 18 and look at it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, which means requests or pleading in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication, or asking again, and request and pleading for all the saints. So we're to pray in the Spirit and be watchful. Now, the very first word in the original language is missing. They didn't translate it. I'm not sure why they didn't translate it, because it makes sense to me. Because I think it's important, because in the Greek it's the word dia. Now, dia, D-I-A, and that's in Greek, but it looks English, doesn't it? Those are three letters that look very English. And it means, in this particular case, through, or meaning through the action of, or by means of, either one of those, and they end up basically meaning the same thing. So I want to translate the verse from the original myself, so it makes sense, okay? So we start with stand, that's the verb in there, okay? And I know some of you don't like verbs and that kind of thing, but anyhow, we're to stand, okay? And then we have dia, by means of or through, right? Every prayer and request. So we're to stand by means of praying. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? I don't know why they left that out. Because it says praying, and it seems like, okay, yeah, let's add prayer. No. We're to stand by means of or through the action of every prayer and request, praying in every season, in spirit, and in spirit, it says in this, the pronoun, but I'm just going to use it against what we understand, in and in spirit, staying alert, staying awake, with all consistency and intense effort, making requests, pleading for the saints. How many saints do we have here this morning? Raise your hand if you're a saint, okay? Anybody have their hand down? We're all saints. It just means holy ones. And we become holy, haven't we? That's what Ephesians tells us. The very first thing out of the chute, Paul tells us, is that we're holy and blameless before him. And so we're the holy ones, and so we're all saints. Now, you may have a Catholic background or a higher church background, and so saints has taken on a new meaning, which is like if there's two miracles done or, you know, whatever. No. What Paul's talking about is you. Is you and me. Okay? And so we're supposed to make an intense effort pleading for each other. Boy, do we do that? Man. You know, when I look at prayer and I look at the armor, I think, you know, it's amazing how much we need communications with headquarters, right? When we're out in the foxhole and we're fighting and the battle's getting bad, what is the first thing somebody does? They get on the horn and call headquarters and ask them to help, right? And that's what we're to do. Every army that's existed throughout time has a sense of a communication network with headquarters, and they get directives for the battle. So let's move back to the beginning of this series to verse 10 and draw two thoughts together, all right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. There it is. The first action is that we are to dress ourselves, and we're not to be exposed or trying to fend off the darts by ourselves, but we're to do it in the power of the Lord with our armor. And then a second action is by means of or through the action of prayer. Both for our own requests and praying for each other. And we put the two together, and this is the way we could maybe say it. Be strong through the act of taking the whole armor of God and stand by means of prayer. So that when you look at it that way, prayer stands out pretty strong, doesn't it? I mean, we have the armor, and we've talked about the armor, and then we get to this, and it really is a piece of the armor, prayer. And Paul emphasizes. So I want to take five things out of his statement for us to think about. Number one, to stand by means of all prayer and request, praying in all seasons, praying in the Spirit, staying awake with all consistency despite all the difficulties, and making requests for the saints. So let me start with number one. Stand by means of all prayer and requests. Okay, we know what pleading means, right, in your life. Do you know what pleading is? Every Sunday that I come here, my kids plead for a piece of candy, right? They'll come to me, Papa, Papa, Papa candy. I mean, I look at some of them, they're so small they can't even talk, but they can kind of mouth candy, okay? And we know, because when you get older, you're pleading for a whole different thing. You know, heck with the candy. Man, I'm in trouble here, God, and please help me. But do we plead and seek out God when it isn't in an emergency? Do we plead for each other? Do we plead for our brothers and sisters if they're having a hard time? Do we find time to pray and like Jesus in the garden, where it said that his sweat was like drops of blood because he was pleading. And God tells you and I to stand solid, to fight this battle with the armor and with prayer, by requesting, by pleading for his intervention. I'm going to give you my best advice for this, because this works for me. It may not work for you, but it's worked for me through the years. But this is before you get out in the day. Okay, when you wake up, whatever it may be, You pray for understanding of the truth. That's the belt, right? And you pray for living out what already is the righteousness that God has made you to have already. That's the breastplate. And then for God to prepare yourself and help you to stay in the Word so that you are prepared with the gospel of peace. That's the shoes. For a strong faith in God to fend off all the fiery darts, that's the shield. Trusting in your salvation and knowing that it's absolutely true in your life. You are saved and there's no question about it, and that's your helmet. And getting to know and use His Word, the Word of the Bible, that's the sword of the Spirit. And you know, when you pray those things and you put them there, you begin to understand really who you are in Christ and where you need to be. Number two is to pray in every season. Every appropriate opportunity that's needed, you use prayer, right? You know, I think about that because like yesterday when we were doing our discipleship, we open up in prayer and we close in prayer. Why? Because we're taking the opportunity. We're taking the opportunity to pray about everything. And there are two words for this opportunity or this time in Greek. Chronos means time as in hours and minutes, right? That's where we get chronology from. Then there's kairos, which is the word used here, which means times of occasion or particular events or seasons. We would say, well, it's about time to eat. Now, we don't mean it's 3:30, do we? And we might say it's time to get up. It's an event. It's an occasion. I remember when Jesus said, and when the time of harvest comes, I will say to the reapers. That's how kairos is used. And prayer becomes a part of your life as these occasions come along and present themselves when we pray. Now, I look at that and I think, okay, here as a pastor and a leader, I plead with God for you all. Every day I pray for you all. I don't know that I get you all specifically, but I pray for you because I think we are ripe and ready to reap a harvest here in the Denver area, metro area. Amen? And I've felt at times kind of like that, but I've never felt that like I feel it right now. We have a great group of people. We have a great unity. And it's a time when we can bring our friends and family to hear the gospel and see them become new believers to fill up these chairs that we have here. There's empty chairs here, right? Why should we have empty chairs? It was only just a few years back I found out that the people that drive past on Highway 2 here, I mean on Highway 7 here, only 3.5% actually go to church. 3.5%. And then all the churches get together and try to figure out how to steal each other's 3.5%. Does that make sense to you? No. We've got 96.5% of the population here who doesn't know Christ, who doesn't, you know what? In Brighton, if we took that as a country, it would be an unreached country. That's what it would be called by missions, unreached country. And I believe we can fill up these chairs. I remember one guy saying, no more empty chairs. And that's the way I feel. I hope that's the way you feel. It is the time, it's ripe, it's the occasion, and we begin to need to pray for that. There's so many people that need help. And so many of you are not necessarily involved because we don't have enough people to that need all this counsel and all this prayer, that kind of thing, that you can stand up and serve. Do you hear me this morning? You can do that. I know you can do that. And that's our occasion here. because I believe we are ready and we are ripe to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. It is by God's power, not by ego, nothing else. It's by God's power in the armor that we put on. It is not a gimmick or a program, but because we love God and love people. And let's begin to love people in that way. And I believe that's our next season at Harvest. Number three, praying in spirit. And I added these words, praying in tandem with the Spirit. Praying in unison with the Spirit. You know, when I go to a doctor's office, inevitably, and it's probably the same for you, at some point, they take that stethoscope out and they head towards you. And why don't you like the stethoscope? Because cold. Yeah, and they put it on your chest and then it's like, whoa, and then the doctor says, breathe normal. Right? Just breathe in and out normally. And then you think, I don't know what normally is. Right? And I even, while I'm breathing in and out, I think, I think I'm kind of cheating here. Right? Because I don't know how to breathe normal. So you begin so consciously to think about your breath, and then all of a sudden, you feel out of sync. And he's doing that, and pretty soon you're kind of not breathing right, and the rhythm gets all off. And like I say, you feel like you're cheating the system or something like that. And it doesn't mean that we haven't breathed up to that point, right? We breathe in rhythm and unity with our body over and over and over, and we don't even think about it till he hits that stethoscope to our chest. We're in sync with our body, and here's God wants us to be in rhythm with the Spirit like that. So in rhythm with the Spirit that we don't even think about it. Automatic prayer is what we might call it. We are to pray in our spirit with his Spirit. Romans 8:26, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to that. I want you to look at it. It'll be up here if you don't. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray, what we should pray for as we ought. We really don't know, do we? No. I mean, you know, I and I've said this before, I finally caught myself realizing I was telling God how to answer all the prayers in my prayer. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to stop doing that. And boy, did it cut me up short on prayer. Because we're always trying to tell God, you need to answer it this way. We don't say it that way, do we? Oh, God, please. You know, you see her hurt, and you just need to get that car to her. She needs a car, and it needs to be fixed. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're not God. We don't know how we should pray. Maybe it's not good what we're praying for the other person, but the Holy Spirit knows, don't they? So we need to get in sync with the Holy Spirit and pray. Now, having said that, I want you to understand one thing. Pray anything you want. This is what the Bible tells us to do. In everything with prayer and supplication, right? Not praying correctly, but just pray. And so we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or spoken or heard, okay? Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind, and I think that should be our spirit, of the Spirit is, or our spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So no matter what you pray, the Holy Spirit's going to take that and give it to the Father in the right prayer. Isn't that nice to know that we have that? That we don't have to pray exactly correctly. And people tell me all the time, well, I just don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. You totally know how to pray. God, help me. Right? What's wrong with that? And God's desire is we pray right or wrong. It doesn't matter. He knows and we don't. He searches our heart and makes intervention. Maybe that's a better word for us. Intervention for us. You know, Debbie and I took ballroom dancing years ago, and we were pretty much two left feet. But we struggled through it. It was a lot of fun. We took one session, and I don't think we ever went back. And every once in a while, I'll grab her when the radio's on, and we'll try to do something. I'll dance with her a little bit, but we're not really great at it, you know. But at one point, we are dancing and we're just having a struggle because she's trying to step out when I'm trying to step out. We're bumping into each other, that kind of thing. So the instructor comes up and takes my hand and pulls her away from Debbie, and she says, "Let's dance, Steve." And we began to dance, and oh man, it was so. Have you done that before? Have you been in lessons like that? And we went across the floor and came back, and it was just so nice. And I got back, and Deb says, "Why can't you dance like that with me?" Okay. And, you know, here's the thing, is that's what the Holy Spirit is doing to us. He's saying, come on, and if you can handle this, okay, come on, dance with me. And we're going to dance as you pray. And you pray, and you pray what you want to pray. And I'm going to take to the Father what is the prayer we need to do. And I'm going to work at putting in your heart what is the real issue in your heart. And we dance, and we move together in unison in the same steps. And it's powerful, isn't it? For you who have done that in prayer, our whole Christian life is to be in rhythm. Number four. Staying alert or staying watchful or staying awake with all consistency. Have you ever felt at times, and I've felt this a lot of times, I'll be driving along and I know somebody lives somewhere and all of a sudden I feel this burden like I need to go talk to them. Have you ever had that? And you think, oh, is that just my head? Is that just me? And a lot of times I'll go and it's like, oh my gosh, I am so glad I went. Because they really needed some prayer. They really needed what they needed. And we're to watch out for each other that way. If we have that feeling, we need to go up and talk to somebody and say, "Can I pray with you? I just feel like the Lord's put it on my..." If it's not true, and it may not be true at times, who cares, right? If somebody comes up to you and says, "Can I pray with you? I feel like I need to pray for you." If somebody does that to me, I think, oh, you go. I'm ready. I'm ready for that prayer. I need every piece of prayer I can get. How about you? And so we have those feelings. We have the movement of the Spirit in our hearts, and he's saying, go pray with that person. Go talk with that person. Do it. Quit holding off and thinking, well, I don't know if that's God. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm imagining it. Stop it. Just go do it. What's the problem? You know, it's interesting because I was able to go pray. Gordon Lang, who does the maintenance, he and I were in the office the other day, and I got a call from a lady who says, "You need to come pray for my husband. He's really doing badly." And so we took off, and we went over to his house, and we began to pray for him, and he was shaken, just really in bad health, laying on a chair. And we just had the opportunity to pray for him, to work with him through prayer. And it wasn't magic. It wasn't anything else. It was we prayed for him, and we got done, and I started to let go of his hand, and he held on to it and came back and kind of looked up and said, "Thank you so much for that prayer." Number five, he wants us to pray for each other. Do you hear me this morning? He wants us to pray for each other. He wants us to plead to him with the brother that's critically ill, or with those who need prayer, those who might be sick, those who are out of a job, those who have marriage problems, those who are ill, whatever it may be. God wants us to pray for that. You know, we have three teams that pray in the church now. And I was able through the summer to, for most of the time, to sit on our prayer team on Wednesdays. And man, I loved it. I loved it because we are able to pray for the saints here. You write those things down in the bulletin, and I guarantee you they get prayed for. I guarantee. I've been there. Our men's group has one, and so on and so forth. We have these different teams, but what I love to see is all of us break out. Right? All of us be able to pray for each other. Be able to put our arms around when we say hello and just whisper a prayer for them. If they're about to engage in the music or whatever it may be. Prayer is our defense from the evil one. We put on our armor. Be strong through the act of taking up the whole armor of God, and then stand by means of prayer. Listen, prayer has to be a part of who we are, not what we do, but who we are. Part of our natural response to life, part of our inner dialogue. Because we are in a battle, my friends, and the more we get on the front of bringing people in, building people up, and serving together, loving God and people, the rougher it's going to get, not the easier. Listen, Ruby is one of my grandkids, and some of you know who she is, cute little girl. She's two. And she's at that independent age, and last week they stayed overnight, and so we used Dave and Nima's SUV because it fits better, has all the chairs. Oh, I'm so sorry for you parents. We didn't have to do all that, you know. And so they get all strapped in, and we get them all done. It takes about 15, 20 minutes in the parking lot, and for me, maybe 25 or 30. We finally get to go, and we go, and when we come back, she says, "Papa, I can do it myself." Right? Getting out? She never does. Every time she falls and I catch her, for the most part. But she's at that age that she thinks she can. And we think we're that self-sufficient in the body of Christ, right? No, no, God, I can do it. I can do it. I'm smart enough. I can do it. We are not self-sufficient at all. I'm sorry, folks. As you grow and you learn, you're going to learn more and more that how self-sufficient you are not. Right? You make all these plans, all these things that you're going to do. Do they ever turn out the way you plan it? No. No. It never works. You may get a little bit of it. I mean, I used to laugh because when I was in business, you know, we always, on the executive teams, we would be planning the 5-year and 10-year plan. Shoot, we get 6 months down the road, and those plans were corrupt. They didn't even work anymore, and so we'd have to get back together and do another 5- and 10-year plan. Finally, one day, I said, "Why are we doing 5- and 10-year plans? We just can't do it. We may want to know kind of where we're headed. But what's the point in doing it? Because it doesn't happen that way." And it's after the scripture says, you plan your step. But God, right? But God brings it about. Listen. We have no idea what God can do. Do you realize that? Isn't that what the scripture tells us? We have no idea. God has all the power, all the knowledge, all the wisdom. And we have no idea what he can do when we pray. And so it seems like that's our first line of defense, not self-sufficiency. We pray. So let me just close with this. Will you pray the armor on each day? Will you think about it? Will you think about it when you wake up? Just say, "Lord," and think about it. And if you don't, get into Ephesians 6 and memorize the armor, right? The belt, right? The chest, righteousness. The shoes with the preparation of the gospel. The shield of faith. The sword, the spirit. Have I missed any? Oh, thank you. In the helmet of salvation. I did miss one. Thank you. And then pray. And then get up and go about your day and see what God does. Listen, game on. Suit up. Right? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. Lord, we love hearing about prayer. And we know as soon as we hear it that prayer should be our first response, no matter what it is, whether it be an emergency or whether we're in a great place and we just want to praise you. Lord, help us to be in sync with your spirit and pray. Help us to be a praying people.